KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. The U.S. Supreme Court vacated a major provision of the landmark Voting Rights Act yesterday. The court did not invalidate the entire law, and Alaska's congressional delegation has mixed reactions. Section 5 of the bill requires 9 states, mostly in the South, but also Alaska, to get approval from the Department of Justice before changing any election laws. The court left that intact, but deemed Section 4 unconstitutional. That section requires Congress to determine which states need preclearance. Preclearance could be needed for large decisions like district lines, all the way down to the makeup of a local school board. Section 4 dictates which states need to follow Section 5. And the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court means the board redrawing Alaska's political boundaries won't need federal approval for new maps unless Congress acts first. Alaska Redistricting Board Attorney Michael White says his first look at the decision indicates the board won't have to complete additional steps required when they drafted a new map for the 2014 elections. He said the board still must comply with another provision of the Voting Rights Act that bars discriminatory voting practices and procedures. The board had been instructed to design a plan focused on state constitutional requirements, then determine if the plan complies with federal law. Most states that had been covered under the Voting Rights Act won't feel the full impact of the Supreme Court's ruling until 2020, when the next redistricting cycle starts up. But Alaska, along with Texas, will experience the effects right away. Here, political lines still have not been finalized, and yesterday's decision could shape the way boundaries are drawn. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports under federal law, Alaska was required to have 5 House and 3 Senate districts with large Native populations. The point was to guarantee Alaska Natives a voice in the legislature. With the Supreme Court striking down part of the Voting Rights Act, the requirement is gone.
What we fear is that it's going to be a net loss.
Alice Ruby is the mayor of Dillingham, where Alaska Natives make up more than half the population. She says that even with the Voting Rights Act requirements, communities like hers have seen their power diluted in recent years. As the population of cities along the rail belt has gone up, rural Alaska has seen its representation shrink. The number of Alaska Natives in office has also dropped, going from 7 to 5 in the last election cycle.
And I don't know whether you define that as discrimination, but I do know it has affected certainly my community, because we ended up being part of either a district that was split in an odd way, or that the district was so large that our legislator really couldn't adequately represent us.
Ruby is nervous that things may get worse for her region. As a city official, she says the Supreme Court's ruling that all Alaska voting policies, whether they involve state or local elections, go through the Department of Justice before they get cleared, relieves some regulatory burdens on a municipality like hers. But she says that wasn't much of an inconvenience, and that Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act largely benefited her region. With the Alaska Redistricting Board currently reviewing nearly a dozen political maps, she's worried that communities off the road system won't be adequately represented.
So why wouldn't we be afraid? The maps have been released, and hearings are scheduled in the large urban areas, and here we are, still wondering what the impact will be on us.
Bob Brody is a member of the redistricting board, and he understands those concerns.
I think in the future it's going to be very difficult for rural areas to perhaps be represented.
A number of the plans being reviewed by the board have a lot in common with the current map, which was drawn to meet Department of Justice standards. The board's attorney says they're still keeping Native influence in mind, but when it comes to a decline in population, there's not much the board can do. A former daycare operator and foster parent in Bethel has been indicted by a grand jury on 7 counts of sexual abuse of a minor. Bethel police arrested 69-year-old Peter Tony of Bethel on June 13th on 2 counts of sexual abuse of a minor, accusing him of abusing a 4-year-old for nearly a year. Police at the time said there could be more victims. Police began investigating in January. They say in a release that allegations caused Tony and his wife's status as foster parents to be revoked. Police say Tony then operated a daycare facility, and their investigation has identified numerous alleged victims both in Bethel and outside Alaska. An arraignment was set for Tuesday. Online court records did not indicate he had an attorney. President Barack Obama declared a federal disaster for spring flooding in parts of Alaska. Governor Sean Parnell earlier this month requested the federal designation for the Alaska Gateway, Yukon Flats, Yukon Koyukuk, Lower Yukon, and Copper River Regional Education Attendance Areas. The areas include Galena and other communities affected by flooding in May and June. The president's declaration will make funding available for emergency work and repair of public infrastructure. The Federal Emergency Management Agency says funding to share the costs of mitigating hazards also will be available. Individual assistance for temporary housing, home repairs, and other expenses will be available in all areas except the Copper River Regional Educational Attendance Area. If you live in Nome, you may have already met him. His name's Tim Dooley. He's the new Nome Superior Court judge, and Dooley was appointed by Governor Sean Parnell in March, was officially installed in Nome on May 31st. He has 22 years of law experience and says he's wanted this position for 17 years. He even stated so in a letter to Judge Benesch in April of 1996.
I said that's the best judgeship in the world. Let everybody know when you retire, I've got dibs on the judge job in Nome.
Now that he has been appointed to the judgeship, he says he'll be in the community for 5 to 10 years.
And I'm real happy to be in Nome, happy to have this job.
KNOM's Margaret DeMaribis sat down with Judge Dooley to learn more about his arrival to the community. To learn more from their conversation, listen to Profiles today after this newscast and the weather. After the 6 p.m. weather. The City of Anchorage has formed an exploratory committee to help determine whether it should bid for the 2026 Winter Olympics. The 23-member community, which includes 4 Alaska Olympians, held its organizational meeting on Tuesday. Anchorage was the United States Olympics Committee choice for the 1992 and 1994 games that went to Albertville, France, and Lillehammer, Norway. Mayor Dan Sullivan says Anchorage was well suited to host the games then and is in even a stronger position now. He wants the committee to finish its work within 8 months, looking at such things as financing, venues, housing, and transportation. He says the U.S. committee will determine in 2015 whether it will seriously pursue the games for the United States. The price of gold in New York down $45.70 an ounce to $1,232.90. An ounce of silver down 90 cents to $18.84. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 landed a little bit ahead of schedule at 8:43 this morning and is expected to depart to Anchorage on time at 9:40. It's unofficially 56 degrees at the KNOM studios, coming up on 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.